There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it? The other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots, independent media, and our media environment. My name is Paul Reeson, and I'm your host, and the co-pilot's chair is Drew Tirico. On today's program, we're going to talk about a new independent media center in Illinois. Way down in Carbondale, southern Illinois, is the Big Muddy IMC. We're going to talk to two volunteers from the new IMC to enter the network. And of course, we'll take a look back at the week in our media environment with Media Geek News. So you stay put. Media Geek News features stories about our communications environment that typically get relegated to the business pages of our newspapers and often don't get reported at all on radio and television. News on media law, policy, and economics is not just of interest to investors and media insiders. It's important to all of us, especially if we want to have a role in changing our media environment to serve our needs in a more democratic society. On Tuesday, January 27th, the Federal Communications Commission issued a $755,000 fine to the nation's largest radio owner for airing indecent programming. The fine was for an aggregate of 26 different incidents aired during the Bubba the Love Sponge morning program on four Clear Channel stations in Florida. Each incident of indecency received a $27,500 fine, which is the maximum that the FCC may levy according to federal law. FCC Commissioner Michael Copps was the only dissenting vote on the fine, commenting that he wanted the commission to go further, either by breaking each incident of indecency into smaller bits, adding up to a larger collective fine, or by threatening the status of the four Clear Channel stations licensed to broadcast. On January 5th, FCC Chairman Powell told the National Press Club that he would be asking Congress to increase the maximum fine for indecency by a factor of 10. The Clear Channel fine is the second largest ever levied for indecency. The largest was a total $1.7 million levied in 1995 against Infinity Broadcasting, now owned by CBS owner Viacom, for incidents aired on the Howard Stern Show. There was some speculation in Washington that the announcement of such a large fine for indecency was done in preparation for a House Telecommunications Subcommittee hearing on the topic held the next day, January 28th. Republicans and Democrats in the committee complained about the level of violent and sexually explicit programming on broadcast TV and radio and questioned if the FCC was meeting the full extent of its obligations. David Solomon, chief of the FCC's Enforcement Bureau, told lawmakers that the commission has stepped up its enforcement of indecency rules. It has proposed fining broadcasters $1.4 million in the last 3 years compared to $850,000 in the preceding 7 years. Representative Edward Markey, the ranking Democrat on the subcommittee, and subcommittee chairman Fred Upton have introduced legislation to raise the maximum fine from $27,500 to $275,000 per incident. If such maximum fines had been levied against Clear Channel for the 26 incidents of indecency, the total fine would have been $7.55 million. Two other House Republicans, Doug Ose, Republican of California, and Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas, have introduced legislation to ban broadcasters from airing 8 specific words or phrases that are reminiscent of comedian George Carlin's comedy routine about the 7 words that couldn't be said on TV. The Carlin broadcast led to a 1978 Supreme Court decision upholding the FCC's right to regulate indecent programming. That same ruling also established what is known as the free harbor period, when broadcasters are permitted to air indecent material intended for adults. The free harbor period is 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., a time when children are less likely to be listening or viewing. Thus, according to the Supreme Court, it is currently legal to broadcast any of Carlin's or Representative Ose's and Smith's dirty words, provided that it happens during the free harbor. According to the FCC's definition, indecent speech is, quote, language that, in context, depicts or describes sexual or excretory activities or organs in terms patently offensive as measured by contemporary community standards for the broadcast medium.
And thankfully, on WEFT, you will not hear any Bubba the Love Sponge programming. In additional FCC and Clear Channel news, on Wednesday, January 28th, the commission held the second public hearing of its localism task force in San Antonio, Texas, home to the headquarters of the nation's largest radio broadcasting giant. Approximately 500 people showed up to hear panelists discuss the issue of how well broadcast media is serving local communities, while over 100 people took advantage of the public comment period. Almost everyone speaking during the comment period was critical of broadcasters' service to their local communities, with many speakers singling out hometown company Clear Channel as the greatest offender, with cookie-cutter programming, nationwide radio playlists, and virtually no airplay for local artists. Beginning a day before the localism hearing, a 10-watt pirate radio station went on the air to broadcast the public's grievances. On Tuesday, January 27th, the station participated in a small protest held outside of Clear Channel's headquarters. There, a band of people dressed as pirates held up banners criticizing the radio giant and advertising the pirate radio station, KRRR, Radical Rebel Radio Broadcasting. Clear Channel's San Antonio TV station, WOAI, incorrectly reported that the pirate station was, quote, shut down by officials late Tuesday afternoon, end quote. However, reports to DIYmedia.net and Houston Indie Media both state that the station continued to broadcast throughout the hearing free of harassment. The first localism task force hearing was held in Charlotte, North Carolina last October, attracting approximately 375 attendees. The panels and comment period were marred by the FCC officials attempting to stop people from discussing media ownership, contending that localism was an entirely separate issue. There were no reports of similar action at the San Antonio hearing.
And thank you, Drew. You are listening to Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media and our media environment. And you can look to the Media Geek website to get more news of our media environment, as well as listen to archive editions of the program in MP3 and open source Ogg Vorbis audio format. More information at the Media Geek website, www.mediageek.org. We'll be back in just a moment to hear about the Big Muddy IMC. Do stay tuned. Song that I don't think they wrote that about Bubba the Love Sponge.
They might have, though. I mean, they were probably anticipating a release of something like Bubba the Love Sponge. I mean, you know, with Ayn Rand predicting the downfall of regulated corporate media, that's Bubba the Love Sponge is the next logical step, in my opinion.
And perhaps. That's Rush with the spirit of radio hailing from Canada, like our weather right now.
Yes.
So, Drew, there's a new IMC in Illinois.
That's right. It's the brand new Big Muddy IMC hailing out of Carbondale, as you aforementioned. We're going to be airing an interview that we did with Kristen first and then with Jersey, both who just moved into their space there. They're trying to get their steering committee or their organization all set up so that they can figure out how they're going to run it, how they're still working out funding, but they've already produced a paper and they're working on they've got a radio show also.
So they've hit the ground running here.
Exactly, yeah. Similar to our own IMC here in town. So they've got the paper and radio.
So first we're going to hear from Kristen from the Big Muddy IMC in Carbondale.
How did your collective get together then? Well, actually, it originated from a group of people that wanted to get together and have a greenhouse of sorts, a place where people could rent space within a space for their own organization. And then a couple of us in it decided that what we really needed in Southern Illinois was an independent media center of sorts. And so we pursued it and went and had a meeting or went and talked to some folks up in Champaign about a year ago and decided we would go ahead and start a paper and see if we could actually make it happen. And since then, we've been just moving forward at a pretty quick rate.
What made you decide to move towards a full-blown indie media center? Why did you decide to go with indie media as opposed to just forming your own offshoot of an organization?
Because I think there's a really strong art community here and a really strong political community here, and I think the IMC does a wonderful job. Our IMC can do a wonderful job of weaving those two communities together, and I think an IMC is a great venue for both those communities. That those communities don't really talk as often as they should, and with a new space, we can bring those two kinds of people together and really empower our community.
How do you think you're going to bring the arts community then into like a political space like the IMC? What's your plan for that?
We already have some things lined up. We have a couple art shows. We're going to do a dumpster dive art show. People bring in things they find out of the dumpster, and we'll host an art opening with found objects. And we have a number of local bands that are interested in playing here. And we're going to create a venue for people to come and show films as well that they've made themselves.
Okay, so you guys have a physical space there. Where is your physical space? Why don't you describe it? I guess you said you just moved in pretty recently, huh?
We're in light construction right now, right in the historic downtown Carbondale. It's about a block off the actual what's considered the historic district. And it's a dilapidated building that a person who has always wanted to show film owns. And when we approached him with the possibility of having an IMC, he jumped on it. So we have about 2,000 square feet, and somebody who's really handy with a hammer has been doing some light construction, the plumbing, the heat, and where we're located is a really nice transition zone between different demographics in Carbondale. So we're hoping that we can tie in not just the students but the community as well.
So you guys decided that you wanted to have a space. You know that a lot of IMCs are just virtual, like Chicago's, for example, is a website only. So you guys went ahead and went for the space. You said, again, sort of to do that to tie in the community, you think? You think it provides more of an accessible place for the community to meet up?
Absolutely. We have at least a dozen political groups here that don't really have a space, and we want to be able to provide that for them for their meetings or for, having a desk, a storefront for them so that people can become more active with the organizations down here like the Regional Association of Concerned Environmentalists, Heartwood, the Audubon that's here, the Peace Coalition. We want them to have visibility downtown rather than just online, and the space will allow them to do that. And the same thing with the artists. We want to give them an opportunity to have their art be seen by the community rather than just in the conventional spaces that are available in Southern Illinois.
Well, so in Southern Illinois, do you think there are a lot of community issues or political issues that do get very relegated to the margins? And how do you think that you guys are going to be covering those sort of issues?
We're not dealing with the larger issues, except of course for the war. The war has been such a hot issue down here. But we'll see. We'll see what the community wants to do, and we'll be able to respond to them and give them opportunity and access and tools to be able to get what they want out.
So do you feel like the anti-war community hasn't really had a space where they can go and talk about their feelings together, and that's why you formed the IMC too?
I wouldn't say just the anti-war community. I think the environmental community doesn't have a space to do that. They are very strong, but they don't have a physical space they can do that.
Okay.
So we want to be able to provide that for them as well. For people that are doing some anti-corporate issues, there's talk of food not bombs starting here as well. We have a nice space across the street from us that's open green space, about doing some community gardening there.
So I know you guys said you have the paper out. What other kind of projects? What's the next project that you've got on your plate, or do you have anything else that you've already put together to be released under the IMC banner?
Right now, for the last, 11 months, we've been working. We're really privileged to have one of the best community radio stations, I think, in the country, WDBX. And on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10, we have a talk block where we're starting to produce our own news and do our own production of events that are happening in Carbondale and get those out to people as well as independent music. So we've been working on that for a while, and we're showing independent films that just don't come to us from across the U.S. and the world, but from right here in SIU. We have a number of talented filmmakers that are utilizing our space or our venue anyway to show their films.
So how did you guys start to get your funding together for the IMC space? I know you said that you kind of worked with some of the people in Champaign that already have the IMC here in Champaign-Urbana. How did you guys go about raising funds, and how did you go about doing the tax-deductible status of those funds?
Well, all of our funds are basically donations and out of our own pockets. And we decided that what we need to do is give people an opportunity to donate to us tax-exempt, and went ahead and talked to the folks at UCIMC, and they were willing to work with us, and we were able to fill out an application, and it was a very painless process for us to become a full-fledged nonprofit organization.
And you're listening to an interview with Kristen from the new Big Muddy Independent Media Center down in Carbondale, Illinois. And this is Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media. And you can look to the Media Geek website for more up-to-date news, being updated much more often lately, on our media environment, grassroots and independent media, www.mediageek.org. You can also go back and listen to archive editions of the program in case there's something you missed or something you want to listen to again. And now we go back to talking to volunteers from the Big Muddy IMC. And next, we're going to talk to a volunteer named Jersey.
How do you guys plan on making all your major decisions? You know, running your IMC there with the steering committee or however you have it organized?
Yeah, well, that's such a we're in the process of like trying to hash all of this stuff out, and it's like we cannot wait until it's done because it's so excruciating at times going through proposals and just ideas and things issues like blocking and trying to. Really just trying to figure out what, if something comes up, how are we going to deal with it, which is hard because if you don't know what's going to come up and you're a upstart group, you don't really have all that much experience. So it's an interesting process. As far as committees, we try to stay away from that name. It's kind of semantics, really, but we try to give it, we have working groups, basically. We sort of divide into working groups into subdivides other things, like for our radio show, for our newspaper. We're doing outreach with children. We're doing films and events and plus the space. So we've done really, really, really well with this. And the first snag we really hit was trying to get together with all of these, like you're saying, the committee meetings and proposals and how we are going to get our ideas out there and get everybody to come to consensus on these things without anybody feeling left out or not involved in the process. So, I don't know, she already talked to you about this, but, we're going to suggest things on the listserv and then have, during our meetings, we're going to propose things at the meetings, and then we'll have 3 days to decide, whether or not the proposal is going to be accepted by the group. And we really haven't had a chance to see how well this works yet. But, you know, we're working on it. We're getting it together.
It's a total round-robin interview here, in many ways.
All right.
Hi, Jersey. My name's Paul. So do you and any of the other folks who have gotten in to start the Big Muddy IMC, do you have experience with other media groups or activist groups, or a lot of you, is this your first time out?
Well, some of the people in here, a couple of the people have quite a bit of experience in, like, environmental groups, like RACE, which is the Regional Association of Concerned Environmentalists, and there's another one called Heartwood, I believe, and thank God for that, because they have been, a couple of the people here, like Kristen and a couple other people, have gone sort of like through the crucible in a sense, you know, trying, working with a lot of different people and dealing with, you know, certain crises or whatever whatever you want to call them. And that experience is invaluable. But other than that, really, we're, some people have been involved in like the student government at SIU, Southern Illinois University, which is here in Carbondale. And but a lot of us, I would say, if you were to profile us, most of us are really inexperienced. But it's so exciting. I'm inexperienced, you know. I mean, but it's very exciting because, you know, just getting people into the whole process and getting people organized, you know, it makes you want to give you a reason to wake up in the morning, you know. So,
yeah. Cool. So what motivated you personally to get involved and try to start an IMC? I mean, that's not something most people ever decide to do in their lives.
No, it's too bad, isn't it? well, what motivated me was just, you know, you look around, you watch the news. If you have any common sense whatsoever, you know, I mean, I don't mean to sound, you know, smug or anything, but it's just like, you know, the right information is not getting to the right places. And, I mean, it's just like, plus, basically, the largest image I have in my head is definitely the Seattle WTO meetings, you know, where people all of a sudden, you know, we're mobilizing, we're organizing, and we're getting a strong message out, you know, which is pretty much anti-corporate and pretty much anti-media, you know, as it is today. And it just was a sort of a jarring realization that, you know what, with this collective network of people who are actually care about the issues, you know, who want to become activists, who are engaged, you know, can actually do something. And so we said, you know, there's a lot of really cool people in Southern Illinois, you know, and in Carbondale, and it's not just in the university either. It's just, you know, community members and, you know, all over the place, young, old. And, you know, we decided that we wanted to start something like this here, you know, to have sort of like an organization which could be an outlet for, you know, for good, solid, dependable, reliable media. And since then, I mean, we've created a newspaper, I mean, with a pretty big circulation that people like. We've created, you know, we've got a radio show that we're working on, and now, you know, we've got this space. And it's true, because we started this less than a year ago, and already we've come so far. And we wouldn't have come this far if there wasn't already, you know, a willing group of people out there to do something. And that's why it's happened so fast, and that's why we've been so successful so far, you know.
When you were organizing initially, I mean, did you find that people already knew something about the Independent Media Center movement? Was it something they could identify?
Pretty much, yeah. I would say most people are aware of the Indie Media Center, you know, and of all of these other organizations too. So.
Is that sort of existing infrastructure, for lack of a better word, does that help you? I mean, in terms of conveying the idea of what you're going for?
Do you mean, does that work as like a model?
Yeah, as a model, or maybe to help you sort of bring people on board, get people excited or involved.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, absolutely. And if it wasn't for the IMC, this idea never would have gotten off. Mm-hmm. Before at all, you know. I mean, that's absolutely positively true. I mean, we've done other things. Our whole goal initially, like I said, a little less than a year ago, was to start an IMC, like a web-based IMC. What we've learned, though, it was really cool in the meantime, because we've had some problems with that, with tech support and getting server space and stuff, mm-hmm. like that. But we weren't going to sit there and wait around, you know, to get the web space. So we did the newspaper, and we started a radio show. And actually, it's funny because those, you know, we talk about an infrastructure. We sort of built up these other things So once we do get the web-based, we're any day now we're going to get this, hopefully. And, you know, so, I mean, that's basically how it all started, you know, is with the IMC, and we're ready to get that going right now. It's going to be awesome.
And the resources you have really now are much more tangible than a website, I think. And, you know, at our IMC here in Urbana, we really had we were much more off the ground with regard to having a radio show and actually opening up a space before we had the website going as well.
Oh, cool. Uh-huh.
Because we thought the website will be great, but if we're going to really connect with people in this community, I mean, there's who knows how many websites there are in every community and how many people actually know about, but that people would know a newspaper or a radio show or
right.
a space. And that
and
might
plus,
get people connected.
Exactly, you know. And plus, I think one of the assumptions that I think people tend to make anyway is that, you know, there are a lot of people, believe it or not, that do not have access to, you know, the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't either. And it's nice to be able to have, like you said, that people like to put their hands on the newspaper. They really do, you know. They can't wait until it comes out, you know, and once it does, they go pretty fast. And I think that's the whole, you know, that's the appeal of a newspaper is it's got that very tangible quality to it.
Well, I just have one more question for you.
Sure.
And, you know, I think Carbondale is probably one of the smallest cities now to have an IMC. And I'm wondering if does that, you know, the fact that Carbondale is kind of a small city in a much more sparsely populated area of Illinois, does that present any particular challenges, and does it offer any particular advantages?
Well, I think it's a great challenge. I think it's an awesome challenge because really, I don't think about it as Carbondale at all, which is one of the reasons we decided not to use Carbondale in the IMC. We use the Big Muddy thing for it, and I don't know. It's sort of a bioregional type of thing, but. The way I like to think about it is that we represent 7,000 square miles of territory in southern Illinois. And I think that, you know, if we want to represent an underserved population, and, I mean, you can't really get more underserved than a lot of the, especially in southern Illinois, because it's so economically poor,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's what we want to reach. And we have, you know, people 30, 40 miles away. We have little, you know, people who are north and south. And plus, we're in the middle of a forest too. Basically, well, Carbondale's on the fringe of it, but I think it's a great. It does offer the challenge. I think it's a great opportunity to try to get out into the, you know, into the more rural communities. I mean, I'm from a rural community. I mean, I grew up in a little tiny ass town up north in Illinois, and you know, all these kids, you know, it's like. They want things to do. I mean, not all of them, obviously, but, you know, if I was a kid growing up in a small town, I would be all over this, you know. I would want to participate, and it's just not there, and so what do? You know, they don't have any way to engage themselves. They don't have any way to stimulate their minds, or they have no clue that people are out there organizing towards, you know, a greater good. And that's a huge goal that we want to do as far as, like, the rural thing. So that's one of the reasons I don't like to think about it. Is that Carbondale, yes, that's our kind of our home base, but... Like I said, we cover a lot of territory, and that's what we really, really, really want to do.
You know, in many ways, I've thought it's the small cities and the small towns, you know, be it an Urbana or be it a Carbondale or like, you know, Toledo, Ohio, or, you know, the small towns that dot across Nebraska that really need the IMCs, even in mm-hmm. some ways more so than the big cities like San Francisco or Chicago, and that's where I hope to see some of these seeds get planted and grow.
Yeah, it is. It's totally exciting. So, you know, we're just about, like I said earlier, we're going through a lot of meetings right now, and we're kind of like trudging through this process, you know, and
mm-hmm.
once we get that done, you know, we're going to hit it. We're going to kick it as hard as we can and get out there and stuff like this since we get sort of all of this other stuff out of the way. But
well, congratulations.
All right, well, thank you.
And that was Jersey, a volunteer from the Big Muddy IMC, the new IMC down in Carbondale, Illinois, which joined Champaign, Urbana, and Chicago as cities with IMCs and a community radio station
That's
down there
right,
in Carbondale.
Yeah.
Illinois having quite a bit of indie media activity.
That's right, yeah.
It's very heartening to hear.
We're a good state when it comes to indie media. We've got two, unlike most of them.
Maybe it's because the state's so long and dispersed, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can...
there's Chicago, which kind of is
sort
its
of the
own
three
entity.
Distinct zones.
Central Illinois and then Southern Illinois, mm-hmm. which often gets forgotten, I think, even mm-hmm. by people here in Central Illinois, that there's this whole other part of the state that in many ways, culturally and certainly environmentally, a very different part.
That brings us to the close of another edition of Media Geek. We'll be back in 1 week with more news about grassroots and independent media and our media environment. In the meantime, you can catch up with independent media news at the Media Geek website, www.mediageek.org. There you can also download and listen to the archive editions of the program in MP3 in the open source Ogg Vorbis format. Media Geek is produced live at the studios of Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Some pre-production happens at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. Media Geek's producer is Drew Tirico, and I'm Paul Riesmandel. The Media Geek radio show is free to rebroadcast by non-commercial stations for non-profit purposes. Please contact us for permission to excerpt. Email me at paul@mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.